I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action. Welcome to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel, a show about welfare, humanitarian aid, and service around the world. Today we welcome Frank and Alice Wall, who served in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Welcome. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
I think I heard somebody refer to Buenos Aires as the Paris of Latin America. What's it like in Buenos Aires?
Well, it's a huge city, modern. Some refer to it as the New York of Latin America. Skyscrapers everywhere, 14 million people in the city. But there's a mystique, a romantic feeling that exists there. It's just kind of hard for me to explain.
Are there little neighborhoods that are quite, you go into different neighborhoods in the city that are different?
Well, outside the city itself, then you get into the smaller communities, barrios that are not affiliated with the capital city itself. But there's very few individual housing. It's all apartment, all high rise, even in the communities outside the city are large numbers of apartments, multifamily dwellings.
Sister Wall, let me just step back a moment. This is not your first mission. You were on a mission in at the MTC in Provo, correct?
Yeah, correct. That's right.
Tell me a little bit about that experience.
We served for 18 months at the MTC in Provo in the referral center. Dealing was basically office work, and we took some phone calls and helping the young missionaries. And it was a fantastic experience to be there.
The missionaries in the call center, are they waiting to go out on their missions? Is this just part of maybe they've been delayed for some reason, or why are they there?
Well, all the young missionaries and the senior missionaries, too, that are housed at the MTC, they all have their opportunity to go to the referral center and participate in calling people or receiving calls from people concerning things that they've seen, maybe advertisements they've seen on TV about receiving a Book of Mormon or a DVD. And so the missionaries take these calls and talk to the people and encourage them to seek out the church and learn more about it.
So you're seeing quite a turnover then every day. There's
yes.
new faces uh-huh. every day then in the referral center.
Right.
Right. Each missionary district has to do so many hours of referral center work while they're at the MTC during their training period. And so Sister Wall would schedule each of these districts for their hour each day and work with the young missionaries. And my responsibility was more with the correcting of addresses, Spanish, Latin addresses, whether it was from Puerto Rico or wherever it may be, and making sure we had the right addresses so that we could send out the material that they had requested, whether Book of Mormon, missionary referral, DVDs, things of that nature.
So this 18-month mission, stay-at-home mission, kind of prompted the desire to do another mission then. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. We came to realize there's so many different missions out there, so many different areas that you could serve and different types of missions that you could serve on. So we thought we'd fill out our papers and go where we were called.
Do you have an opportunity to request an area when you're filling out those papers or to request an assignment? Or do you just say, well, wherever the Lord wants me to go, I'll go?
Well, that's what we did. We just left it blank. There is, in your paperwork, there is an area where you can put your preferences or where you'd like to serve and so forth. But we left that blank. We just felt like we didn't want to try to outguess the Lord and just go wherever, do whatever we were called to do. And
Sister Wool, when you opened that envelope and it said Argentina, what was the first thing that goes through your mind?
Well, the first thing that went through my mind was that that's really far away. I thought maybe we'd stay closer to the States, but we were excited to go and learn more about Argentina.
Either of you speak Spanish?
Elder Wall does, but I
spoke Spanish, but I soon found out it wasn't as good as I thought it was. So they speak a little bit different Spanish than what I was used to conversing in. But
tell us about a typical day then in Buenos Aires, in your particular field. What would you do every day?
Well, and we were in the humanitarian, and so we worked out of the area office, and so there was a lot of office work, computer work, and Elder Wall did a lot of that work, and putting together projects so that, and as they were put together and approved, and then we were able to participate in some of the delivering of the goods and the ceremonies for the signing and handing over the donations. And
what is the greatest need in Argentina right now that the church is assisting in?
Boy, it's hard to say exactly what the greatest need is. Out in the more, in the areas outside of the capital where medical services are not the greatest is one need of improved health care, hygiene. In the more rural areas, it can range from self-reliance, gardening situations, food, obtaining food, to just about every other need that you can think of exists there.
So you're able to see the just run the gamut of everything then. You're
right.
Able to see what's happening in rural Argentina and then within the cities. And how is the church there? Active, large, membership, first generation, second generation? What did you find there?
Well, I think there's a lot of second generation members there. We have a large temple that's being renovated and made even larger. A new temple is being constructed in the northern part of Argentina. We were fortunate enough to have responsibilities in Uruguay and Paraguay as well as part of our area assignment. And there's temples in each of these three countries. There's probably about 1,000 members coming into the church a month. But I think one of the problems that they face is retention, because some of the chapels are long distances away, or people have to travel or maybe take two sets of buses or to get to a. And so after a while, they kind of, that's my feeling anyway, that they kind of, I don't have the money. It's not very much, but I've got to take the bus two times going and two times coming back. And so
the church infrastructure needs to grow a little bit in Argentina to catch up with these 1,000 people who are being baptized.
Yeah, they have beautiful chapels where the church is established quite well. You get out into the more rural areas, and they have the branches. But there again, there's usually quite a bit of distance from where the people live to where the branch may be or the building that they're meeting in. And so attendance isn't as high as it should be, I feel. But they're good members. Those that are active and participate are just, you just have to admire them. and the struggles and sacrifices they make. As you know, we here, we would never understand what they have to go through to stay true and active. And so many young people may be the only members in their family, and yet they're such an inspiration. They're so good. It's just a testimony to see the, especially the new converts that have come into the church that are so.
A lot of native missionaries or North American missionaries. Where is the bulk of the, where are the missionaries coming from?
There are quite a few missionaries from the States, but it seems like each year the number is diminishing and more of the local. We have a lot from Chile, Peru, Colombia, other Latin American countries in South America are coming, for example, to Argentina. And when they first get there, they may pair up with a missionary from the States. But by and large, the number of missionaries from the States seem to be diminishing a little bit, and more of the native or Latin people from South America are participating in missionary work, full-time missionary work.
Tell me about some of the welfare programs that you were involved in, perhaps some that were really special to you, something that kind of just really hit you.
Well, the one that I was thinking of concerned a town called Navarro, and a little business. What was the business called?
Well, it was just the...
A little...
It was primarily for the disabled.
Organization called... that cared for the disabled.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what... They taught them school subjects, plus they provided a workplace for them where they could... workplace where they could... package cleaning supplies and then would sell those package supplies. And so it was a training experience for them. And the request came in for the church to paint the outside of their building. They wanted to paint the outside of their building, and Elder Wall thought that that would be a good service project for the missionaries. And so he was able to contact the mission president there. And they, at the time, we didn't know, but they did not have missionaries in this town. And they were wanting to get enough attention so that they could provide missionaries in that town. And so the process went through, and we were able to set up a date where the missionaries from that area would go in and help paint, and also the volunteers from the stake came in also and painted. And when we got there, we realized that they not only wanted the outside building painted, but they had bought paint and wanted us to help paint the inside of the building. And so it was a joy to go and help and see everybody working together. Some of the the handicapped people were able to help paint, and everybody just worked so much together that it was a joy to see this come about and to focus on the good that the church does. Many people were brought to the attention of the church and requested, and referrals were made from this experience. And the church was also, so the TV or radio station was there and interviewed Elder Wall and interviewed the manager of this business. And so a lot of good came from that, and it was a joy and a pleasure. They took care of us, and a lot of good was accomplished through that. And I liked it because it involved a lot of people. It wasn't just where we handed over something, but a lot of service was rendered by the church.
Is it the government that requests this help, or can it be just local groups? Where do you hear of projects that you'd like to participate in? How does it get to you?
We have requests from Ministry of Health, Education, arts, things like that. But a lot of our the projects that we worked with are kind of divided into two halves. On one side, we have the major initiatives. These are those that a lot of people are familiar with: wheelchair programs, vision, neonatal training, the Benson Institute in gardening and agriculture, clean water projects. These are major ones. Then on the other side, we have what we call the area projects or initiatives. And these were more focused for communities, getting the church known in the areas. And so we would rely a lot on church leaders, stake presidents, bishops, district presidents, members of the church that maybe worked in a school or something. And so a lot of our referrals would come in from the church leaders in those particular communities. A lot of them would be directors of nonprofit organizations and foundations, the Red Cross, the Lions, other organizations like that that we're familiar with. And so they would send these requests in to us, and then it was our responsibility to kind of evaluate and to see how many people it would actually benefit. And so a lot of them came in through church members too. In Uruguay and Paraguay, we had humanitarian missionaries called for 2 years, and their responsibility would be to help obtain these requests, and so we'd work through them as well.
If you have someone who's listening who is thinking of going on a mission, a humanitarian mission, and they're hearing this, they're going, oh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to. How would I decide what's, you know, do you have some help? Are there handbooks? Are there people along the way telling you, yeah, this one's good, that one's not so good? How do you know?
Yeah, there's in the office, area office, there were welfare specialists that we worked under that would approve. And so each project has to be approved by at least and receive a signature from the welfare specialist, the DTA, and the area presidency. So we don't make those decisions on our own. We had help to do that.
Interesting. You're listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. Today we're visiting with Brother and Sister Wall, who served in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Life different for the, what I refer to them as Argentinians, in the city and in the countryside? Is it just two diverse areas, or is it about the same? Is the hardships the same and the people the same all the way across the country?
I would say the hardships are the same. I mean, even in the big city where we were, we lived in a nice apartment, and you may think that all the members, well, they live in a nice apartment too, but as we were able towards the end of our mission to go out with the young missionaries in the evening, and so we did become more acquainted with how people are living, and some of their conditions, living conditions, even in the city, are very small and tight quarters, and they share some of their living areas with other families. And
so this would give you a better understanding, too, of what's necessary or what you're thinking of providing for them.
In the city of Buenos Aires, there's a lot of different ethnic, a lot of Italian descendants. There's even German and British communities. So the people are diverse in the city. As you get farther out, then it's more native, if you will, on the people that you deal with. And it seems like that They all have their struggles. They're similar in nature because of the economy that is really hurting in so many areas down there. And but the city is no different than a large city here. They have the same problems and different ethnic backgrounds. And as far as the church, I think the church is more acceptable in the more rural communities, and they're not so wrapped up in society and things of that nature like you find in these large cities. And so many of them, you know, they religion isn't a part of their daily lifestyle in so many cases in these large cities. But when you find somebody that is, they're just so good. They're just, the people are just so wonderful. And to see them embrace the gospel and change, to see what the church is doing, and they just are amazed at what the church does. And we get so little recognition, but yet it attracts so many good people to the church. And that's what we found in our service down there.
Sister Wall, did you have an opportunity to attend church services in a small branch?
Well, we were in a ward. Did we attend?
Be able to get out on a weekend? And
well, when we were up in Paraguay, we were able to attend church with the Nivacle Indians. But they had a ward, right? It wasn't a branch either.
Yeah, so, they had two branches. Mm-hmm.
Oh, two branches.
The
they
same
were two
building.
Branches. Uh-huh.
Was it a building that the church had built or had rented?
Well,
or,
the one
trying to paint a picture here of what church would be like on Sunday in that area.
Well, there's lots of nice churches, yes, and most of the times we did attend a church in a church chapel.
How is Relief Society? If you attend a Relief Society where it's all in Spanish and you're sitting there going...
it's all in Spanish. Every Sunday, that's what we attended. Uh-huh. The church services were all in Spanish. And so I asked if I could help in the primary, since really in Relief Society, though, the sisters would, if it was a lesson from the Liahona, they would print it up in English for us and give us a copy, those that were there, in English. And so they would try to help us to understand what they were talking about. And you could really understand what the concept of the lesson was, even though it was in Spanish. But I requested to see if I could help in the nursery. I started out asking if I could help in the nursery and primary because lessons in Relief Study were Spanish. And they were excited to have me help. There was only a couple of young kids, but because I couldn't speak Spanish very fluently, they didn't respond to me very well. So that didn't work out. But then they requested that since I can play the piano, that maybe I could play the piano in primary. And so that was a joy to be able to help in primary by playing the music for the primary. And a lot of the young kids, some of them knew some English and would respond to me and the primary president knew English, and so I enjoyed that experience very much.
Family size in Argentina, very small, two children, one child. Is there a kind of a, are you seeing very small families, or do they have large families?
Well, most of the ones that we associated that I can think of, they had small families, maybe, four children at the most. But then you heard of young people that came from large families and like 11 children. And so there is a mixture.
Interesting. It's we talk about, I think I read today, 4 million people in the city of Buenos Aires.
14
million, I'm sorry. Yeah. And I can't even imagine the congestion that there must be. Normal roads, buses, bicycles, cars. How do people get around in this city?
Yeah, we saw all of them. There's buses. We rode the bus. We had to ride the bus to get to church, and we did a lot of walking. And I was nervous about the people that were riding bikes, but there were people riding bikes, and the cars. Driving was really a challenge. I didn't have to drive, so.
Well, did you have to drive?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
And
an experience or two?
well, I don't know. This experience you might want to edit, I don't know. But the first Sunday that I, the welfare manager, who's a paid employee for the area office, says, you know, you ought to start taking one of the cars and getting used to driving here. And I said, well, there's no rhyme or reason for the way they drive. You know, I don't want to get out there. But you've got to do it. You know, part of your assignment is, you know, entails a lot of driving. And so after church, we decided we'd ride out to the temple and back. And as we were heading along the freeway, I noticed some young men running into the traffic, and it looked like two of them was being chased. And one of them passed our car, and just as we turned back around, the second person, a car come whizzing by us on our left and hit him and killed him right there in front of us. The backpack and everything lit. We had to swerve and get out of the way. And so that was my first experience. And I thought, man, what am I? Let's hire the remiss driver or somebody.
Mm-hmm. You know, but it got better.
It got better. And I learned that the speed limits are just suggestions, just like the lane markings. But there's a lot of traffic, a lot of cars, a lot of people own cars and motorcycles. And yet, being a city of 14 million people, the buses and the subways and public transportation like that is extremely crowded. And because it is subsidized by the government, you know, more people can afford. That's the only thing they can afford as far as transportation goes. But I was surprised at the number of cars. You know, I always said, man, there's 14 million people in the city and 10 million of them have cars.
And they're all driving like
they're
crazy.
They're all driving at the same time. Yeah. But a lot of people walk, of course. The streets are always crowded. But the subways and the buses are extremely crowded. There's very seldom do you get to sit down.
Let me have you think for just a moment. I know you're involved in a lot of projects, but think each of you one project that really touched you, one thing that you went home that night and thought, this was just absolutely the highlight of this mission. Anything that comes to your mind at that point?
Well, the one time was toward the end of our mission, and the church had donated a newborn
fetal monitor,
to the church. And so we were going to the hospital to perform the closing ceremony and sign papers, and it was very crowded. They had the press and news people there, but they wanted to give us a tour of the hospital. And so we went in and visited with the ladies that just had had babies. It was a maternity hospital. And then we came to the intensive care for the newborns, and I kind of waited outside the door. I mean, they had glass windows in the door, and so I thought, well, I'll just look through, because I just thought, well, we shouldn't be going in there. But they ushered us in there and showed us the monitor that the church had, the machines that the church had provided. And on the one was a teeny tiny baby that wasn't any bigger than your hand, and you could hardly see him laying there. But it was a joy to see the people's excitement about having this provided for the care of their newborn babies, and the blessings that it brings to those that are born there. And so I was very impressed with that I felt very honored that I could be there and participate in that service that night.
Brother Wall.
Well, for me, to single out just one is kind of hard because I was so emotional in so many of them. It was so touching to me, the service that the church was providing. Our first project for this year, 2010, was one that we really didn't get to see it in action, but it was close to my heart, if you will. It was where we partnered with Ronnie McDonald Corporation, McDonald's, and a large hospital, teaching university hospital, similar to University of Utah, if you will. And the hospital provided four doctors and a driver, and Ronnie McDonald provided the bus, and in the church equipped that bus so that we could have a mobile pediatric clinic that could go out to these rural areas that have no medical care at all and provide examinations for the children, do their dental, do their physicals, take x-rays, treat vision, help them with the low vision programs that the government wants to get going for their children there, and then also be able to be used in an emergency disaster type situation. And so we just got that done, and so we weren't able to see it actually in action, but that was one that I really felt good about. And we had other situations where we provided school kits and hygiene kits, a wheelchair situation that I was asked to speak at a large donation closing ceremony for hundreds of wheelchairs, and was able to talk about the resurrection and talk about the love of our Heavenly Father to these people. And it was so emotional. The Spirit was so strong. And then after, we had the recipients. Some were so, their bodies were so deformed and that they couldn't, you know, it was just so sad. And but yet they wanted to hug you. They wanted to kiss you and thank you for that. And I had one person tell me, says, you know, he had always had to be carried on somebody's shoulders. And he says, now with this wheelchair, I feel like I'm somebody. And thank you, thank you, and thank God. And he was just so emotional about it. And things like that were so touching to me, to see the gratitude and the love that, and the sincerity of these people that received these donations that the church provided. And it was all to give them a better quality of life and help them be more reliable, self-reliant. And our area project specifically, you know, really did bring the church out of obscurity to a lot of these communities. And to see that was just so, it's very difficult for me to explain how it was.
You have had an opportunity now to serve two missions. Is there a third one on the horizon?
Provided.
What would you like to do? Would you do another like this? Would you like to get out and get in the trenches, so to speak, and knock on a few doors?
Well, I wouldn't say. I mean, I'd like to serve again. I think we could. I think we realize that your family's blessed while you're gone, and they do just fine while you're gone. And the Lord takes care of them better than we could if we were home. And so I think we'd like to serve, but as far as requesting a place or a service, I would still leave it up to the Lord.
Very interesting. Thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate your time and your service. We really do. You've been listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. Today we've been visiting with Brother and Sister Wall, who served in Buenos Aires, Argentina.